Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are listening to the Load Management Podcast. Why? I don't know.
What's going on, everybody? Brand new episode of the Load Management Podcast. This is your man, Chops. We're back for another week, another loaded episode of the podcast. Before we get into our two special guests on today's episode, let me welcome in my co-host, Adam Caparel, counting down his days in Los Angeles as a Los Angeles resident before he comes to New York City. And then we also have Zion, who is in parts unknown of New York. We never really truly know where Zion is.
I can't reveal my location.
He likes to stay hidden for some reason.
Yeah, we never know. It's like where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Real G's move in silence,
man. When's the last time you actually experienced sunshine?
Ooh, me?
Yeah.
I got a backyard, bro.
Oh, look at you. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay, excuse me.
Zion's enjoying the sun, unlike us. What's going on, fellas? We have a very big show today for the still new and noteworthy podcast on Apple Podcast. Shout out to Apple Podcast for that. Showing the love. We appreciate you guys for listening every week. We have a big show today, guys.
Yeah, we have heavy hitters as usual. Kenny the Jet Smith coming through to
Kenny's gonna make
y'all
mad.
Yeah, so when you guys listen to Kenny, check his mentions after you listen to the podcast. Check the mentions on Twitter.
And just for context, we gotta add that our top 30 NBA players of all time.
Well, I was about to get
today.
To that, pal. You're blowing up my spot here.
Sorry. I'll let you continue.
Let me finish here. So yes, Kenny. So we just published, if you guys haven't been paying attention, Complex Sports published our top 30 rankings of all-time NBA players. And I think for the most part, we did a damn good job with it. But Kenny, who obviously skews a little bit older, had some major beefs with our top 10 and maybe suggested some egregious additions or subtractions. So yeah, when Kenny chimes in about our rankings, he's probably going to be talking mad wild and we called him out for it. And he probably will get roasted a little bit on social media. But Kenny stuck to his guns and we love him. We appreciate him coming through.
I fuck with Kenny Smith.
Always. He's been a friend of Complex Sports for years. He's great.
It's such a fun conversation. We talked about inside the NBA, TNT stuff. We did one got to go with him. He asked us a one got to go.
Yes. Load Management Podcast first. We got to ask one got to go.
We love you, Kenny, but you said some wild stuff, man.
You were wilding out on the podcast with us, Kenny.
People are going to freak out after that. After the Kenny interview, we have Chris Haynes, NBA insider from Yahoo Sports, TNT sideline reporter, who talked to us live from the NBA bubble in Orlando and gave us some good insight on what is going to happen once guys get to the bubble and what it's like being there. So just heavy hitters, like we said, we're bringing the heat every single week. Not much in sports happened in the last week, so I think we should just get to the interview, guys, right?
The only thing that's happened in sports has been the awfulness of the goddamn coronavirus. People testing positive left and right. So, yeah, we'll try to keep it positive.
Fuck the coronavirus. That's my official stance on the coronavirus. Yeah, so get out of here.
Unfortunately, it's not a universal stance in this goddamn country, but moving on.
Well, yeah, everybody please wear a mask. That's the official load management
statement. We concur with that, yes.
Load management masks coming soon.
Yeah, let's drop some load management coming mask soon. Merch.
We should make some masks, some money.
We got budget for that, right, guys?
Yeah, right.
If we can get a goddamn mug, we can get a fucking mask. How about that?
There we go. Without further ado, let's get to our Kenny Smith interview, talking a whole bunch of shit. You guys are going to love it. Joining us today on the new episode of the Load Management Podcast, we have two-time NBA champion, two-time Emmy Award winner, Kenny Smith. Kenny,
It's multiple. No, those aren't Emmys. These are
are those not Emmys?
Like when I got something in my tooth.
So for the listeners on the pod here, Kenny has the beautiful setup with the piano, the big baby grand piano with the two beautiful Emmys on it, and stunting and flexing as he should for winning those awards.
Hey, if I moved over here, you might see the NBA championship trophy.
If I had trophies like that, I'd put them on display for everyone to see too. So, I mean, do it up.
Yes. Display every trophy you want, and we will talk about them. Kenny, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, man. This is a crazy time, but, you know, unique things are going. This 2020 has been the most interesting year, I think, in anyone's life.
That's certainly an
understatement of the century right there.
That's certainly a fact. So before we get into too much, let's talk about your Jet Academy, because it's a very cool program that you're putting together. So what was like the genesis of this and kind of what you want to do with it in this kind of virtual world?
Well, you know, obviously the pandemic and social distancing, you know, and I just thought, why should that stop you from being a good basketball player? Right. And so I just created the first virtual basketball camp live, you know. You know, our kids consume information live. They don't, it's not, when I was growing up, you put in a tape of Billy Blanks and do the workout. Like, no, they don't consume information like that. So I created a live site with the top WNBA and NBA players. I got Trae Young, Victor Oladipo, Kemba Walker, Breonna Stewart, League MVP, Sue Bird, Brittany Griner. And we're basically, and I'm hosting it, and we're your personal trainers for 2 hours when you're in their camp. And it was funny because I see the UConn, I'm UConn heavy, obviously, in my first initial run. And I was talking to Kemba and I said, Kemba, so when we do this, you know, we're going to do this. He's like, what drills do you want to do? I was like, no, I want to do all the drills you do. And then the kids can do them side by side on anywhere, any device, anywhere. And I said, what you got to do to step back, pull back, move. He's like, oh, no problem. I said, no, but you got to tell everybody when and why you use it. He's like, oh, whoa, I got to keep all my secrets. I was like,
the secrets.
He said, if Patrick Beverly logs on, no, then I'm turning off the stop. He's like, but yeah, I just thought it was needed. My kids are sitting at home. So I just created jetacademycamp.com. You sign up, you can work it on. If you got a cell service or Wi-Fi, you just plug it in, put your phone on a pole on a basket, or outside a park in your home, and you just go and you're side by side with your favorite players. And you can answer questions like this. You can type them in and we answer them live.
That's literally maybe one of the best ideas I've ever heard in the basketball type world with what's going on. That is pretty damn incredible, Kenny.
Well, I'm excited about it. You know, great partners. You know, Shaq calls me at like 1 o'clock in the morning the other night. He goes, hey, what's up? I'm like, yo, why are you FaceTiming me? You know I'm in the bed. He's like, so he never calls. He always FaceTimes. So he's like, I love that Jet Academy. I'm like, all right, thanks, appreciate it. He's like, I got to be involved. I'm like, you want to camp? We want to do a week? He's like, no. Every kid there, the first 10,000, you should give them the $35 off courtesy of me. I'm like, how do you do this, Shaq? He's like, I do this all the time. Let me be your marketing guy. He goes, you create the big Shaq code. You put it in, and they get $35. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow. And he hangs up. So I text him. I'm like, you serious? He's like, yeah, big Shaq, discount code, by tomorrow. And I was like, all right, so that's what we have. So if you register, you put big Shaq in, you get $35 off, courtesy of the big fella.
Shaq has to be the best marketing
in the world
of all time. It's like Shaq and Vince McMahon. They are nose and nose.
I was like, how did you even, like, 1 o'clock, that came in your mind to call me? And he told me how to do it. He's like, no, then you can create a discount code and put Big Shaq in, and you can do, I was like, all right, cool.
So the only marketing pitch man in Shaq's neighborhood was the late Billy Mays. Other than that, Shaq is like bar none, you know, the top-notch Mount Everest of your TV pitchman, because he is on every other commercial, and God bless, because he's doing very well for himself with all these pitches.
Exactly.
Is Chuck a FaceTimer? You said Shaq only FaceTimes. Is Chuck a FaceTimer?
It's funny, because we have the three versions of him, Ernie, and Charles. So Shaq, Ernie, and Charles are so different. Shaq is only FaceTime. He's on a FaceTime every single time, no matter where he is. Listen to what I'm saying, where he is.
So he's a public FaceTimer.
He's going to FaceTime you no matter where he is.
I think we're picking up on what you're saying. Okay.
So I've seen some things. That's all I'm saying. So then Chuck is a call person. He's just calling. He's like, he's going to ring your phone, he's going to call you. He's very old school in that. And Ernie's a texter. That's it. They all do different things. They all work, communicate differently. I kind of do all three, but they only do those. Like, you're never going to get a FaceTime from her.
So is there an inside the NBA group chat? Because if they're all, if you guys are all do different stuff, and how crazy is that group chat?
All right. See, you're going there. How did you know? First of all, to go there, man.
Hey, everybody has. We ask the hard hitting questions here on load management, Kenny.
Hey, the group chat is so hilarious because if Shaq sends something in the group chat, everyone's scared to. It's like you take your phone and you're like, "Who's around? Can I open this right now?" Because you never know. This he just has the weirdest sense of humor. He likes to. He's a shock person, shock value. So anything that's shocking, anything that's he's gonna send. And so I never open his pictures or videos.
So what is the percentage of not safe for work things that Shaq sends in the group text?
Yeah, right.
9 out of 10.
90%. So Shaq is a walking HR problem, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you all, well, he knows it's us. So he's like, this is personal email. He's not sending on He's like, this. You guys text me. You're like, okay, so here you go. But yeah, 9 out of 10. I made the mistake when he first got there. I opened it on a plane.
Oh no!
Everybody looking at you.
Like, what are you doing? I was like, oh my god! I was like,
how have you guys managed? Obviously, you guys added Shaq a little later, but how have you guys managed to keep everything so fresh with your relationship on that show? Because
it's authentic, man. Like, there is no producer that produces us. He lets us. Kip Kylie's the greatest producer in the world because he says, I'm not producing you. I'm going to put cameras in the right places. I'm going to create the correct content to talk about. And that's it. I've been there 22 years now. I've been to one production meeting. One. How crazy is that? Like, one in 22 years. He asked me when I first went, I'm sitting in there, and he's like, Kenny, you're not even paying attention in this meeting. This is before Shaq and before Charles. I go, well, what's going to happen in a basketball game I haven't seen, heard, or done, or been part of? Like, what am I here for? And he goes, that makes a lot of sense. Kenny, get out of here. You don't have to come. Ernie, you just got to stay because you just got to know when the commercials are coming in, and you know the content. So Ernie goes to every production meeting. Charles, myself, and Shaq. Shaq has never been the one, ever. Charles has never been the one, and I've only been the one. 20 years. And we have Emmys.
You would have been enshrined in the Hall of Fame this year if you guys were having a proper Hall of Fame induction ceremony. So, I mean, whatever formula you guys stumbled upon, it's worked beyond anyone's wildest imaginations. And the show you guys do is, like Zion just said, it's by far and away the best studio show in sports and probably sports history.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Tim Kiley, Steve Fiorillo, you know, all our camera people from Ant to, you know, our stage manager, Mickey, like, they have to work because they don't know what we're going to say. You know, we have Alex, our graphics guys, and, you see all the memes and stuff. Like, he's like this at the computer, and he's doing that instantly because we haven't told him, like, hey, you know, put me in a UConn hat right now. And the 2 seconds later, UConn hat pops up. So they work much harder than they probably do on other shows if they did. But I think that's what makes it great because everyone is on their toes now all the time. You cannot sleep on our show at all. I don't care what position you're in, from the guy who puts the mics on to, you know, Phil to all the Mike and all those guys. No one could sleep. They all are at the computer and they're focused in on our show.
What's something that nobody knows about, or the general public doesn't know about Chuck, that you guys know, like that that we can't tell?
Oh, you have my favorite show of all time. I've been binge watching it now on Hulu. Shout out to them and shout out to Netflix too, because you guys, and shout out to Complex. I'm online. It's The Odd Couple. One of my favorite. Charles is Felix Unger. No one would think that.
You got to explain the reference.
Let our younger audience know exactly what you're talking about. Our young Zion down here has no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Our man Zion here is like, what is going on?
I don't know what that is.
Charles is OCD in terms of neatness. He
really,
like, unbelievable. Like, everything he before, this is before Corona, he used to carry Lysol wipes. Wow. And he wipes down the area where you are, where he is. He does it subconsciously.
He's so, like, Charles is basically Naomi Campbell with these wipes.
Oh my gosh. He takes, if you have coasters, he puts the drinks on coasters. If they're like, if things are on the floor as he's walking, he just picks them up and he's talking to you. This is the most craziest thing ever. He leaves his wallet out one day. And so I guess he must have just got back from Vegas because it's loaded. Right? I'm looking at all his cash and I'm like, I grab like a half of the stack. And I said, you know what? No, I'm going to put it back. So I put it back in because he was walking in. I was like, he's going to see me. Put it back in. He sits down and he's like, who touched my wallet? I'm like, what do you mean? Who touched your wallet? He's laughing, but I'm like, who touched the wallet? He's like, how do you know? He's like, well, I always keep my wallet, listen, in the right-hand corner of the desk. It's not there. I said, oh, so you just do that for stealing? He said, no, but what I really noticed is I keep my bills face this way, and now they're turned that way. Do you know where your bills are faced in your wallet? Which direction? Yeah. That is Charles Barkley. You would never think that he is his locker looks like, oh my God, it looks like a store, like Neiman Marcus. Someone came in, put every color is right, the shoes are in order, the drinks are. My locker is like, oh man, I'm Felix Unger. He's Felix Unger. I'm Oscar Mayer. I'm Messi.
Yeah.
So we sit next to each other and we drive each other crazy.
But it works beautifully.
That's legit insane. I don't think anybody would kind of pick that out just knowing Chuck. What is Chuck? So we all know that Chuck loves Vegas. A craps table is not the most organized, clean type situation. I wonder how he
has to do. Because I think I'm not 100% sure, but I think he plays more blackjack.
Okay.
But I've been to a table and his stacks of chips are in the meat area. He is like, he said one time, I think, to one of my kids, how do you live with him? Kenny's an animal. I'm like, I'm not an animal. You're just crazy. Like, no one is that clean. No one was wiping down chairs before they got into him.
Yeah.
Corona. Like, years
before. Yeah.
He's the only one I was doing that stuff.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Oh, story on his cleanliness. Scott Brooks was his roommate, coach of the Washington Wizards. When he played with the Sixers, we're talking about, he said, I stayed with him for the first month because Charles said, don't buy a place because you might get cut. You could stay with me. Great guy. That's how Charles is.
Very nice.
Every night he would just hear the vacuum, like at 2 in the morning. So one morning he gets up, he's like, why are you vacuum at 2 in the morning? He says, I like to wake up and see the lines in the carpet.
That is nuts.
What?
Yo, come on. Hey, Adam.
That is nuts.
He wants to see the lines.
That's certified nuts right there. That's lunatic behavior right there.
Thank you.
That's
but he called me an animal because I don't want to see lines in my carpet.
I mean, it's one thing to be neat, but who the hell vacuums every single night at 2 o'clock in the morning?
So he can wake up and see lines in the carpet.
That's incredible.
Unreal.
Kenny, let's talk. Obviously, the NBA is coming back. The bubble and everything. I think very recently, Austin Rivers and I think Giannis and I think Doc Rivers all said that this is going to be the hardest NBA championship ever won, and no asterisks or anything. Where do you fall on that kind of thinking?
You know, there's never an asterisk. I mean, if you are with the best 350 of anything and you're with them for a month, and you have a competition and you win that competition, that's hard. I don't care what competition it is. So to put everyone in a month and a half in this thing, because this is a new season, we can't really say that this is last season or the season that it's not a continuation. When you're off for 3.5 months, like as a basketball player, that's a whole summer for me. From my rookie year to my second year in the league, I made a tremendous jump based on what I worked on and knew the work to work on. So guys who are rookies kind of have a bigger advantage. They're going to be better players. they're going to change. It's going to be a whole different landscape. So I would agree. There's no asterisk at all besides this NBA championship.
I mean, we didn't put an asterisk on the strike shortened, you know, seasons with the Spurs, you know, and then 2011. Like, we don't look back and say that those teams that only had to play 50 regular season games, whatever the case is, deserve an asterisk. So I don't get why people want to put one on here when, like you just said, like the circumstances around winning a championship are going to be like 10 times harder than they normally would be. Like, if anything, they should be given extra praise and extra adulation for winning a championship down in Orlando because of the amount of bullshit and nonsense you have to deal with to win that title.
Think about the anxiety. And this is how this is the things that it was crazy because I was in a great deal of anxiety with the kids and don't touch this, don't do that, social distance. That's why I came up with JetAcademyCamp.com. Mm-hmm. I was like, how do I get them to camp? But NBA players were working out like this virtually with their training. Yeah. But now, after a game, you're like, oh, I can't speak to him. I can't touch him. I can't eat here. I can't do this. So now you have so much more anxiety that typically and say, well, how do I go out Westbrook? That's my anxiety. Now it's so much more. And I think the best players in the world flourish because they have the least amount of anxiety and stress. So as a general manager or a coach, my idea would be, how do I decrease it every day? How do I make it simpler? How do I make the day simpler so they could just focus in on the task and not, don't touch this, don't talk to this, you know, same way. JetAcademyCamp.com. I don't want my kid to be, I don't trust my 12-year-old son to be at a camp washing his hands, social distancing. I don't trust him. He's not there yet. He's not there. Okay, do virtual camp. NBA, okay, we need to do this for you NBA camp guys while you're off so you're not in a room with hundreds of people.
So, Kenny, if you put yourself in the shoes of an NBA player right now, would you have a massive amount of trepidation going down to Orlando, or would you be like gung-ho and ready to get back and play basketball?
What Kenny are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Kenny of, you know, who played in the NBA. So not the Kenny right now who's the father who has the family to deal with, but like put yourself as an average like 25-year-old NBA player that maybe, you know, has a girlfriend or whatever.
I think Zach knows where I'm going.
All right. So Kenny, you have caveats. Go ahead.
The Kenny that was going for the championships and was in a position to win titles, that Kenny, is he going?
Well, it's 21 to 24-year-old Kenny, no hesitancy. Going. None. Mm-hmm. That's not even championship years.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the same responsibilities.
You're probably bored too. It's like, what the hell else are you going to do?
Not married. No kids. My mom and dad at that time lived in New York. I played in Sacramento. I was living by myself. Being quarantined, it's the same. I was going to the gym, going home. I was going to the gym, going home, working out during the season. And then I'm having a great time. That's a different story. But I'm doing the same routine. But 29-year-old Kenny, married, got to be a good father, good husband, responsibilities. Parents now move closer to me. They live in the area. I'm like, man, should I go? I have more trepidation. So it's depending on where I am in my career, whether I'm going or not.
Are you surprised more guys? Obviously, the whole Kyrie thing happened. And at that point, I actually thought that there was going to be a whole bunch of guys who said, yo, like, we're not going to go or anything. And then a few guys like the David Bertons and Willie Cauley-Steins of the world, like said, I think it's like five or six guys. Were you surprised it wasn't more, or what did you think?
Well, I think Kyrie's point was social injustice. He's like, why?
Yes, totally. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
It made perfect sense. Like what he just said made perfect sense. There's a bigger problem going on in the world. But also I look at, he's Kyrie Irving. I'm always going to hear what he says. I'm paying attention because he's, even when he's not playing, you're going to pay attention to him, LeBron, CP3. But what does Montrezl Harrell think? Like, I might not get to hear what he's thinking because he's not in front of a camera and doesn't have the social presence. Because this movement, to me, really didn't start with any celebrity or celebrities or even. It started with around the world where people said, this isn't right, what's going on. And they got a chance to see it through the pandemic eyes, in the pandemic. So Kyrie's 100% right, but playing is 100% right. There's no right answer, you know? I don't think there's a right answer. So for me, I'm not surprised, but I think that the voices will be loud for the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh best player on the league because microphones are now being their face. They'll have a, they'll get an opportunity to speak on how they feel.
No, 100%.
Especially when you see, you know, guys like what they put on the back of their jersey. Mm. Like they're allowed to put, you know, for those who don't know, the players are allowed to put phrases of Black Lives Matters on the back of their jerseys. So now, depending on what you put, you know, it depends on then how much you're going to be interviewed about why'd you put that? What does that mean for you? So now it still stems the conversation and still sends some change. Because someone asked me, what would I put? I said, the easy is BLM, right? Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
No, you know what I do? At home, I'd be MLK. On the road, I'd be Malcolm X.
That's tough.
There you go.
X on the road. Okay. Yes, sir. When we have our road jersey, it'd be X. At home, it'd be MLK. I was like, yes, let's go. I'm ready. I'm hype right now. Let's get it going.
And you guys on Inside the NBA, you're going to keep the discussion going about all the, you know, the reforms and all the protests and all the momentum that's been, you know, kind of just proceeding the last few months since everything went down in May, you know, following George Floyd. You guys can continue those conversations when you guys come back, you know, starting on what, July 7th? No, yeah, you guys are back July 9th. I'm screwing up the dates right now, but you guys are coming back first week of July. And you'll keep those discussions going.
Yeah, I mean, it's pertinent and it's important. You know, we're not in a bubble, so to speak, isolated from what happens in the world. You know, everything that happens in the world, you know, I've been blessed to win Emmys, championships, but some of my, you know, I was talking to my kids today, not today, weeks and months ago, that, you know, we're talking about what's going on and some of the things they didn't know about me. And I'm like, you know, I've never broken a law in my life that I've known about. I've never broken a law, never been arrested, never anything. Grew up in New York City, played in Harlem for Riverside Church, all the way to Queens, Navigate. But the only time that I've seen a gun pulled on me was by police officers, twice. So like, if it happened, and they're like, really? You had? Because my kids are like, when we're in the 55, I'm like, yo, you're 55. You're like, I'm that type of person. I follow that line. And they were in shock that I've seen a gun twice and it was only by police officers. So, and I've never broken the law. So we understand, and now we get the culture. We're not immune to anything that goes on. We're part of that same culture.
Kenny, talking on the court, the Bucks are the team in the East that everybody just assumes is going to make it out of it. Do you think the Sixers, Raptors, or Celtics could come out of the East?
I said, to me, the favorites are the young teams, young and experienced. Boston, Milwaukee, Denver, because younger players work out differently to get ready for the season. They get ready for the season right now. And as you get older, you're like, it's a long haul and you get a routine. Now it's like, no, you're dropped into the season right now to win it all. So you have to be at a different mindset and level, which if you're the last, that's, think about LeBron's teams. They've always kind of at times started slow and then they just build up.
I'm a Cavs fan, Kenny. I know. Yes.
So you don't have that luxury. So there's a mental drop that everyone has to have that typically the veterans aren't accustomed to. So I would say if anyone had an advantage, this is just my theory. Mm-hmm. I would say the younger experienced teams like Milwaukee, Denver, and Boston have a bigger advantage.
So piggybacking off of that, you think that hurts the Lakers? Because the Lakers are one of the older teams in the league.
Yeah.
I do. Because they will get better as it goes on, but will that knock them out? Because
LeBron ain't getting knocked out.
Kenyon Smith wasn't even in the league.
Yeah,
he wasn't even in the league when we stopped. So now you bring a guy who wasn't in the league into a mix. Like, it's just, it takes time. Like, okay, what's his role now? What's he going to do? I'm a young – you know what might other than have a team is the Rockets, because their style is just penetrate picks. We don't have a real great offense. We got to let guys play one-on-one. You know, we don't have any plays like that. Number five, it's like open the floor up, You can't guard us. We're going to penetrate pitch, and if you come, we're shooting the three. Those teams, that continuity is easy. That's a pickup game. That's easy to find. And it's going to feel like that a little bit, especially the first 2 or 3 weeks.
Is there going to be the same playoff pressure? Like, we were talking on this pod the other day. There's, like, guys who they can't shoot come playoff time. Like, some guys, like Kyle Lowry had that attachment forever. He obviously showed up in the finals last year. But, like, some guys just don't perform as well. Is that going to be a thing with no crowds and no home court advantage? Like, the Rockets are a good example because people say they shrink in the playoffs. But are they going to still feel that?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the great superstar players, they play well on the road. And the difference between the marginal NBA player, when I say marginal, I'm just on NBA standard, they haven't played as well as on the road. You know, you could look at most guys' stats. He shoots better at home. This is an intense practice environment. So mentally, like, it's an intense practice environment. Yeah, I'm playing the hard as I can, but I don't have anyone directly in my ear on what's going on, even though it's on television. So you're going to see some guys, you're going to be like, man, I didn't know he was that good. He is that good in practice every day. He's just not that good in the game every day, you know? And that's what you're going to see, I think, sometimes as well.
The whistles are going to change too, because, I mean, statistically speaking, refs give more calls to the home team with the home crowd. There's bias involved. So I think that'll definitely kind of play into with the unique environment. But Kenny, I want you to sell a debate for us that we had on the last podcast. I think the Raptors have a better chance of coming out of the East than the Sixers do. And these two guys over here, these two goons on the podcast, have a better chance of doing that.
Let me clarify that point. Let me hear it.
I got to clarify that point, because we're saying we cannot give up on the Sixers, because the Sixers are starting afresh and they still have elite talent on their team. And at the end of the day,
their offense sucks.
At the end of the day, you need superstars to get you through the playoffs. We've seen it.
I would say, man, that's tough. That's a tough call because of the pandemic. So if I'm basing on my pandemic theory, then the Sixers have a better chance because young guys,
fresh legs,
they're jumping higher. You know what I mean? Like it would lend to them to be better. However, the continuity of those guys in Toronto, the fact that they really depend on each other, they play together quicker, I think. So if I had to go a 7-game series, Toronto, Philly, I'm taking Toronto.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Kenny. Thank you, Kenny.
I'm taking them in seven. Right. Yeah, I'm taking them.
At this time this comes out, we had just put out our top 30 NBA players all time. Can we read you our top 10 and have you weigh in on it?
Okay. I love to hear it.
Okay. So our top 10 is in order: Magic, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kareem, Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, Shaq, Larry Bird, Wilt, Bill Russell, and Tim Duncan.
I saw the headline at LeBron.
That was 11. That was 11, wasn't it?
No, that's 10.
Yeah, I think it's 10.
It's 10.
All right. Who do you have 10 to 15? And then I can tell you who you left out.
Let me check real quick.
Yeah, Zion's going to pull that up. Notable, I think number 10, I think 11 is Oscar Robertson. Yeah,
you don't have Oscar in your top 10, that's wrong.
No, we haven't met 11.
You haven't met in your top 10.
All right, here's 11 to 15. Oscar, Hakeem, KD, KG, Steph.
Steph Curry?
Yeah.
Isaiah 15. Thomas?
Yeah, we have Isaiah in the 20s, Kenny.
Oh, my God.
You take Isaiah Thomas over Kenny, Steph Curry?
Steph was unanimous MVP.
Isaiah, in the era of Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, he won 2 championships.
He
touché. Beat the Celtics and the Bulls. Like, that's the MVP. You're my MVP. You beat the Bulls and the Celtics, bro. And you're the best player on your team. That's MVP. So, yes, I would take Isaiah Thomas. No, Steph Curry's a great player. MVP. Steve Nash won 2 MVPs. I wouldn't take him.
We can have that. Yes, we can have that argument also. We can talk about point guards later on.
I would not take him over Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas is the best small guard ever to play the game.
Who would you take out of the top?
And you guys leaving off. Where do you have Nate Archibald?
We didn't have him in the top 30.
Yeah, but we know I'm going. I'm here.
That's New York. That's New York bias right there. That's New York bias right there. Yes.
The guy led the league in assists and points in the same year.
But the general consensus was that he was left out of the top 30 by most.
No, most people that's 35 and under.
Oh yeah, yes. We have a slightly that younger audience. Yes,
that is correct, Kenny. But you said Oscar in the top 10. Who are you taking out from our top 10 to put Oscar in?
Anyone but Kareem and Jordan.
You can take Larry Bird out of the top 10?
LeBron James, Kenny?
Oscar Robertson. There wouldn't be a LeBron James if it wasn't for Oscar Robertson. Yes, I would put him in that of anyone but those two guys. Like, he would be in my top five.
Well, all right, so how about you ask it this way? Who would be your Mount Rushmore, you know, for the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, Kareem is number one. Only he's not Michael's the best player that I've seen in my era, but Kareem is the best basketball player of all time because he was the best in high school, he was the best in college, and he was the best in the NBA. He never wasn't the best. Michael became a great player in high school, got cut. Kareem was an all-state freshman, you know, always been great. Oscar Robertson, Bill Russell, and Will Chamberlain.
No LeBron.
Or not MJ. Or MJ.
No, MJ.
MJ was on there. MJ was on there. Okay.
No, not in the top five. Not ever. Because also
I'm surprised you're going with so many big men, to be honest.
They changed the game this way in rules. Like I'm gonna give myself an aimless plug. I'm changing the game in camps. JetAcademy.com. Those guys changed the game in rules, meaning Will Chamberlain and Kareem, you can't dunk anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? We're going to widen the lane because they're too good. Michael Jordan, he's too good. It's called the illegal offense. If you put him on one side of the floor, now that's a legal offense. You know what? Now we're going to let you play zones in the NBA because Michael's too good. Like,
yeah,
those guys are different. Okay. Like, LeBron's great. He's great. But for me, this is in my opinion, he's not in the top five of all time.
That's kind of wild, though. LeBron James. Pretty wild, Kenny. That's a wild take. Wait. I mean, listen, I kind of agree with you. Like, I think Wilt would be on my Mount Rushmore just because how, like, literally they had to make numerous rules changes because of how dominant he was.
But wasn't Wilt was kind of playing against, like, plumbers, though, a little bit.
No, let's not go that far. He wasn't playing against absolute scrubs. But
no, it was harder. Like, I'm not going to – this.
No.
No, educated. Go ahead, educated.
Let it out, Kenny. You have Emmys.
Educated.
Let it out. Grab the Emmy and let us know.
Let it out.
When you have less teams, you have better talent.
That's true.
On the teams. When you look at those Celtic teams, like, there are guys that are in on teams now that wouldn't have made the NBA when I came in because we had a small amount of teams. Their skill set wasn't good enough, and they wouldn't have made it. But the expansion of the teams, more teams, the rule change. Could you imagine Michael Jordan with no hand check? Like, the freedom. Okay, here it is. This is what you have to understand. This is why guys like LeBron, great player, he could play so much longer and play such a high level. Because when I played, I had to bring the ball up like this. So what happens? I can't see anything on this side of the floor.
Yeah.
But with the hand check rule, no hand check, I see the whole floor. I'm a better passer. I'm a better shooter because now my feet are set all times. James Harden could play with you 5 seconds and raise up because he's always – in my era, he would have been doing this. He couldn't have played with the ball. You can't compare the scoring ability of Will Chamberlain in this era, and you can't hand check him. He would have had 60 points a night. Like, he just would have dunked everything. He would have been with Quint Capella and all these guys on steroids. Like, Kareem was skilled. He could dribble.
Yeah.
Will Chamberlain played with the Globetrotters. He was that skilled. he had the ball. He could do all this thing with the basketball. And he was 7-1. Like, he was like Shaq. Could you imagine? Like, no.
Why is LeBron James not in your top five? Because still, you're looking at a guy who's 260, running a 4-5 if he was on a football field, like unstoppable and just as skilled as pretty much
taught himself how to shoot.
LeBron James is in my top 10.
Okay.
But he's 10, possibly.
Whoa.
Is Shaq in your top 10?
Shaq's in my top 10.
Is Kobe?
No, Kobe's not in my top 10. Kobe's like 11. Okay.
The complex sports universe is going to have some issues with this top 10, Kenny.
It's Magic, Larry Bird.
Magic, Larry, yeah.
Larry Bird. Who did I just say?
Archibald has to be in your – Oscar and Nate Archibald are in your top 10.
It's so much easier to score now that it makes it hard to judge guys' ability because it's so easy to score. Like, I was a good scorer. I wasn't even a great scorer. I averaged 17 points a game at my highest, I think, 18. In that year, I probably would average 26, 25. It's that easy to score now. You know, so judging guys' abilities is different. But I could see through all of that and say, because I'm old enough, I lived through – I'm first-generation hip-hop, and at the same time, I'm listening to, you know – Drake and NBA, what's the
Young Boy, NBA Young Boy.
I'm listening to Run DMC and Wu Tang, and I'm NBA Young Boy in the same.
There
day.
We go.
You know, so I've seen it all, and I know the comparison. NBA Young Boy is not Wu Tang.
Oh yeah,
no, he is not. Here we go. He's not.
But he's good. He's not. He's good.
He's all right.
Give me Wu Tang.
The baby, he's hot. Got some hot verses, but he ain't Chuck D with this lyrics. You know what I mean? Like, he ain't KRS-One. Like, I understand.
Kenny, do you know Griselda?
Griselda?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah. Like, do you know Griselda? Yeah, the Griselda crew from Buffalo, New York? Yeah.
You don't need to know them.
We had this debate. That's right. If you don't know them, contingent guys up in Buffalo.
I love what you guys are debating, but LeBron James is on a high trajectory to get into the top five. Mm-hmm. But all of those guys would be in the NBA Finals just as many times if they played in this era. They would. Mm. They would. I do believe that. Their greatness would have translated even more, today.
Kenny, before we get to our last segment, we have Chuck at 16 on our list. I just want to let you know that. You can,
Where's Karl Malone?
Karl Malone is 19. We have Chuck ahead of Karl Malone. Tim Duncan's 10. We have 10. And we have Dirk at 17.
You got Dirk better than Charles Barkley?
No, Barkley one ahead of Dirk.
And you have Dirk ahead of Karl Malone?
Yes.
He does not like our list.
We don't need to show him anymore.
Kenny's got a few issues with
Listen,
our list.
Kenny, yeah. Kenny, just know our list is better than if you look at Bleacher Reports and ESPN's, you'll get it.
I like that you have the 30 in there. I just don't like the order.
Okay, well,
we're gonna agree and disagree on this one.
We have Kawhi on our list too, just to let you know at 26.
Kawhi Leonard's doing what?
26.
He's the one who's writing your list for you and composing it.
No. Kenny, Kawhi belongs on that list. Come on.
Kawhi Leonard is one of the best 30 players ever to play.
Yes, look at the accolades already. He's not even 30. And we lost Kenny. Kenny has left the building, everybody. Kenny left. Is gone.
It's over, ladies and gentlemen.
It's over.
Kawhi Leonard is one of the top three players in the game now. But for a year and a half, he's not been the top three players. He's not been a top 5 years ago, he was in the league. He wasn't the top three.
He's won multiple
5 years ago,
NBA
he was a finals MVP.
Multiple teams.
Two defensive players of the year.
He was the finals MVP on a team he was the fourth leading scorer on.
He was D'Angelo came
LeBron,
to play
the biggest, the biggest stage.
He was the fourth leading scorer on the team. None of the guys on your list have ever been the fourth leading scorer on their team.
Wait, I just realized we have Kawhi ahead of Isaiah Thomas by one spot.
Bro, you guys probably don't even have Dominique Wilkins in the list.
No,
Dominique was an outsider.
Close. He was close. We have John Stockton. We got D Wade on the list. D Wade deserves to be on the list, right?
D Wade over D-Wade,
Kenny.
No, over. You don't even have Dominique. Think about this. D Wade is great. He's supposed to be in the list.
That's your coworker.
No, D-Wade is the third greatest shooting guard.
I got A. Steve Smith's my coworker. I don't say he should be on the
list. Well, that's a different story. Come on.
For real. Hey. I love the podcast now. Let's keep it going for a second. We're going to keep it going for 1 minute.
Let, just wants to eviscerate our list today.
Yeah. We have Elgin Baylor at 22. David
Robinson. Elgin Baylor at 22.
Where should he be?
He's in he's in the top 20 of all time.
We have him close. That's two spots. What do you think about KD at 13?
I would probably say anywhere between 13 and 17 is a good number.
Okay, so that's not off.
KD, does KD have potential top 10 material in your opinion when he's finished?
This is what makes you. This is okay. When you do your list again, and you look at
We update the list in a year or two. We're going to consult you.
No, not a year. You're going to do it right now.
No, we're publishing this. This is out. But when the podcast comes out, the list is out.
This is out.
This is signed, sealed, and delivered right now.
All right, as you look at your list and you go, I can't believe I pressed send on this email. And he said, because this thing Kenny just broke down to me makes the difference. This is what makes the difference between a superstar, an all-star, and a great player. Here's the difference. There's five ways to dominate a basketball game. Scoring, rebound, assists is the easy ones. Mm-hmm. Then you have pace of game, and you have leadership. If there are certain guys, Akeem Olajuwon, Isaiah Thomas, Michael Jordan, they are going to do four or five of those things every night. They're superstars. When you do two or three, you're an all-star. You're a great player. When you do one, you're an NBA player. When you could only do one that night. He scored tonight. He really dominated by scoring. Hakeem Olajuwon, defensively, led the league in steals, as big, 500 steals, 500 blocks. Mm-hmm. Led top five in the NBA in scoring and shot over 50%. Won two championships. He, leadership. And when I say pace of the game, this is where the Steve Nashes, they come in. Because when you played against a Phoenix Suns team, you had to play fast. You couldn't play slow. Like, I don't care, we're going to beat them, but we got to get 125 points. They create a pace. Russell Westbrook creates a pace of the game that you have to play at. So those are the five ways. If your guys in your top 10, if they can't do 4 to 5 every night, they're not in the top 10. They're not.
I think our top 10, a lot of those guys tick off four of those five, though.
Kawhi could do a lot of those. Only thing I would knock against Kawhi is maybe his passing ability, but he still is there.
Can he dominate an assist in a night?
He's not a distributor.
He's not a distributor, and can he dominate the pace of the game?
He can slow it down, really.
No. Can he dominate and make – okay, he's playing against the Phoenix Suns. Listen, back in the day, and he goes, no, y'all going to play slow tonight. Can he do that?
Well, if you pick up Steve Nash, you know, based on you can kind of slow it a little bit.
No, because Akeem would make – if we played Phoenix, when we played them, those games were in the hundreds, 101. Yeah. They weren't in the 130s when we beat. He made the game slower. He forced you to do it. He was good enough. That's separated. That separates it. JettaKim.com, brother. Now you're going to learn the knowledge, baby.
So you won't be retweeting this list when we put it out.
Two more things before we get you out of here. We're gonna have you help us next time we make the list. We need the Kenny Smith knowledge. Everybody go to JetAcademy.com. Right, Kenny? Right now?
JetAcademyCamp.com.
Jet Academy.
And I'm going to break down this knowledge and I'm going to show it.
There we go. One thing before we get you out of here. We have a segment called One Gotta Go. Will you play with this real quick?
Oh, wait, no question. Is this there with girls go. Or this is with players?
This is everything. First one, Biggie, Nas, Jay-Z. One got to go.
Oh, Jay's got to go.
Whoa.
I listened to Jay more, but the culture wouldn't exist without Nas and Biggie.
You are very big on the originators. And
no, meaning like, yes. Jay, I listen to Jay-Z more. I have, like, if you said, what's my, but... Like the style of the 5% of style of talk and speech and the way Nas, and I'm from Queens, understand like what that is and where it comes in, how it affected the Wu-Tang and all of, and everything else that comes after it, how it affects Kendrick Lamar, like Nas, Biggie created the opportunity for Jay to flourish and take it to another level. It's kind of like singers, like things that Michael Jackson did allowed other singers, Chris Brown, to be Chris Brown, even though I might listen to Chris Brown more. So if one's got to go, I got to go Jay. You got to, you know, you're on the bench.
One more quickly. That might be a hot take. People might get at you on that one. New York point guards, not including yourself, but Marbury, Kenny Anderson, Sebastian Telfair. Real quick.
Oh, no. Bassie's got to go.
That's an easy wood chops. Come on.
I'm just checking.
We had to make that one harder.
Well,
come on.
Based off of NBA talent, yeah, but impact on the city?
New York point guard impact?
Time out. Kenny Anderson, we know he's not going. He's arguably the best 6'1" and under point guard to ever play high school basketball. In high school. He's arguably the best high school player at 6'1" ever in the history of the sport. Arguably. And then Stephon Marbury is the culture with Sebastian.
Yeah.
He's a better version of Sebastian.
Yeah.
He's a better version.
He created the path for him.
Yeah. He's a better version.
Kenny Smith, thank you so much.
Wait, I'm going to give y'all one.
Oh, let's go. Let's go. Okay.
One's got to go. Rihanna.
Oh.
Beyonce.
Oh.
Let's go old school. Give me an old school one. Halle Berry.
Halle Berry got to go.
So you would take her, and we're not even talking about as a companion either. I'm talking about all her films, all her body of work, everything that they've done.
I don't need Halle Berry.
If you're going on body of work here, I think Rihanna's got to go.
I can't. Ooh. As a Clevelander, I cannot say Halle Berry. It's not allowed.
Rihanna's got to go in that scenario.
You don't want any of her music.
That's the thing. I need Rihanna and Rihanna's music.
I like Rihanna. I would pick
Rihanna's
music.
You don't want Fenty line your girlfriend with.
That's a different story. That's a different story.
Your
that's for a different podcast.
Different without her line of
for Fenty. A different podcast. But if you're talking about true ascendance with Beyonce's discography and Halle Berry winning an Oscar, Rihanna got to go.
I don't need Halle Berry. I'll take
Rihanna. I can't get rid of Rihanna. I can't get rid of Rihanna. Kenny, I'm bowing out. I can't do either. None of them got to go.
Okay, that's not how it works. You got to pick one. One guy.
I got to go. I'll go. Kenny, I'll go. I'll go. I'll go. Kenny Smith, thank you so much for joining us. This was so much fun.
One thing I got to, I always got to let people know. I always got to let the Tar Heels know is go Duke over here.
Dunk on him, please.
You know, I respect the Queens. My sister went to Archbishop Malloy, but it's go Duke over here.
Oh, Jesus.
Don't listen to him, Kenny.
Tar Heel family, the Tar Heel bed, Tar Heel born. We're going down to Tar Heel. If God was in a Tar Heel, it wouldn't be.
We apologize for this, Kenny. We apologize for Zion bringing up Duke out of nowhere.
Y'all killing me right now.
Thank you, Kenny. Awesome, that was amazing. Huge shout out to Kenny Smith. We told you guys he was going to have some hot takes. We did not lie. But LeBron and Kobe both not in your top 10 all-time list.
Raging hot take.
That's a raging hot take.
That's a lava hot take.
Nate Archibald is not better than LeBron.
He's a New York legend, but no, he ain't LeBron or Kobe. Yeah. I'm sorry.
We told you guys the takes were hot. So, I mean, we appreciate Kenny coming through. Make sure you go check out his website and his new camp and everything. It sounds very cool. Kenny is now welcomed on the podcast whenever he wants to come back.
We're getting too many Tar Heels, though. Got to get some Dukies in here.
Have we had a Duke player on the podcast
fall back,
yet?
Pal.
Have we? I don't think so.
Yeah, we've had multiple Duke individuals.
Oh, Jay Williams.
We had Jay Billis.
Relax, pal.
We've had some notable Duke players on the podcast. I think Kenny's the first UNC guy we've had on. So yeah, you're
no, Danny Green's UNC.
Zion Williamson, come on the pod.
So it's 2-2 right now. So you're spewing in.
We still have more UConn people on the podcast. So shout out to the UConn.
Somehow. That wasn't by plan. No more UConn people.
No more.
Basketball powerhouse UConn.
I'm not going to plug a college, but speaking of a city, another Cleveland guy who spent some time in Cleveland covering the Cavs.
Whoa.
Chris Haynes is not a Cleveland guy. Do not label him a Cleveland guy.
He spent a few years in Cleveland covering the Cavs. So that counts to me as a Cleveland guy.
Very fun interview with Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports, NBA insider, talking about the NBA bubble and everything. Adam presses him because, Adam, the last place you want to be is the NBA bubble, it sounds
like. Again, if you looked at the guidelines for the NBA bubble for the media, that is the last goddamn place you want to be. If you want to go insane, you want to have a nervous breakdown, no, hell no. The guidelines for the media in the NBA bubble were ridiculous and burdensome, and I swear to God, if those people don't come out with some PTSD, that will be a miracle.
It's called a love of the job, buddy.
It's called sacrifices that I did not want to make.
Me and Zion will go back to the bubble. We were in Orlando.
He hasn't left his backyard or his basement in 3 months.
It's transferring a bubble. It's going from one bubble to another bubble.
I'm not going nowhere until
he ain't going anywhere
until
2021. Yeah,
needs a vaccine.
You're not seeing Zion in person for a long time, pal.
Yep. Enjoy the Zooms.
So we're gonna have to do the Zoom.
At least you wore a polo for this Zoom, so thank you for that.
Zion has a very nice polo that matches his.
Like, he has somewhere to go, yet he's not going anywhere.
Look, the constant hate. You just can't see a black man win.
No. Do not know.
Good transition. That's a good transition to a great black individual in Chris Haynes.
Yeah, on that note, let's get to our interview with Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports about everything going on in the NBA bubble.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now joining us on the Load Management Podcast, we have Chris Haynes, who is a senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports, host of the Post It Up Podcast with Chris Haynes, and sideline reporter for TNT. Chris, what's going on?
That's a lot of titles, man.
That's why I messed up the first time, is because you have a long accolades.
Hey, you big enough, you man enough to admit that and acknowledge that on air, because you didn't have to mention that. I wouldn't have told anybody you messed up.
Chris.
No. We like to dunk on each other as much as possible here, Chris. So that's how it goes, the Load Management Podcast.
The most transparent podcast you could find.
That's what's up. Thanks for having me, guys.
Overall, with the players you've been talking to, Chris, and going back and forth, do you generally feel like they are excited and all in, or do they mostly have a lot of apprehensions and are they kind of concerned with their safety? Like, what's been the overall vibe of the temperature check you've taken the players about their feelings with Orlando?
Just nervous. No, nobody knows. Like, nobody that I've talked to is coming here just feeling secure. You know, this is more of an obligation. This is an obligation. And it's an obligation on both sides. I would say that, but the players have more to risk, obviously, because they're going to be here actually playing. You know, I just find it weird, you know, that the players are going to go play the game, sweating on each other, playing, bumping each other. And then after they leave the arena and walking back to their hotel rooms, they got to social distance and put their mask back on. You know what I mean? Like,
it's a lot of contradictions in this
I'm like, and then we, as media, we still got to stay the ones that – in the bubble, you know, we still got to stay that 6 feet distance. And I get that. I understand that, you know, but we're being tested every day as well, you know? So,
yeah.
And if the results are coming back negative, like what's the problem? But you know, those decisions are made well above my pay grade. So I'm not going to question too much. It's just a lot of things just seem strange.
Dame had said, He's not confident guys can follow the rules.
What? Understatement of the year right there.
I'm just like, it's a bubble. Like, how are guys going to be allowed? Like, can you actually break the rules? I think that's the thing, because obviously guys are going to want to go and do, you know, try and live as normal as possible. Mm-hmm. But like, say a guy wanted to leave and sneak out. There's no way someone could sneak out, right?
Again, being that I haven't stepped out of here yet, I don't know. I'm going to be walking around to see what holes are possibly. You know,
you're going to find some. Yeah.
Well, like I said, canvas all the emergency exits.
Yeah,
so
yeah, right.
If we would have done this, you know, this pod 2 days later, I could have, you know, give you guys the lay of the land. So I don't know, but I will say this. Dame is his, you know, he's right to be concerned. But had this restart been taking place in Las Vegas, he would have been had ultimate concern, ultimate, like to a tenth degree.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you know the layout of Orlando, where you are right now is pretty secluded from a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you've been here. So you tell me. Does Dame have a right to be concerned?
Well, that's why. Well, that's why I'm bringing it up, because it's not like in Vegas. Say they were staying at the MGM. You walk downstairs. You're at a casino. You're with all these people. You're on the strip.
Maskless.
Masks are not required in Vegas, but point taken.
Yeah. I've seen the videos.
But Orlando, like Chris, where you're staying, I said me and Zion stayed there in January for the Pro Bowl. You're kind of secluded. It's like a resort type thing. That's how all the Disney hotels are. So I'm just like, it's a guy can't walk and get off of the bubble, I don't think.
What about somebody walking onto the bubble? Some young, nice lady.
Oh, you nice want to go? So is like, that where we're going? Because Stephen A.
Where do you think we were going with this?
That's Dame's concern. First of all, you know, walking off the bubble, like that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Yeah. The concern is bringing people onto the bubble. And I'm asking you, is that a possibility? Is that an option?
A possibility. that's for sure going to happen.
But like, there is for Disney, there are entrances, like entrances, like you have to get past like guards and stuff, kind of.
So I'm wondering how locked down it's going to be at certain points. Like, are they going to tell Uber drivers not to bring anybody who's not cleared to the grounds? I the NBA, there's so much money on the line. You think that they would probably think of that, right?
Yeah, I would say this. When I drove into Disney World, my first 3 days I stayed at a different hotel. So the first 3 days it was at, I can't remember the name of the hotel, but it's here in Walt Disney World. So I quarantined there for 3 days. Then I quarantined here for the last 4 days. And so there wasn't really any restriction. It seemed like if you wanted to get into the Walt Disney World campus, it seemed like you could have. Mm-hmm. Maybe that has changed since, but that was last Monday when I got on, and you know, we came straight in.
Vegas would have been a problem no matter what. I mean, if they actually did this bubble in Vegas, would have been a massive problem.
Isn't that
the NBA for picking Orlando?
Did the NHL pick Vegas? I don't even know.
No, they picked two Canadian cities.
Okay, yeah, that wasn't going to work anywhere. Vegas was not going to be an option. I think it's very interesting, that, like you said, people coming onto the bubble, because as Stephen A. Smith said, guys are going to get urges.
They're going to get horny. You can keep it 100.
Three months is a long time for these NBA guys.
Hold on,
time out.
Let's stop that. Yes, hold on, let's stop that. Stephen A. said, yes, I get him. Yes, 3 months.
Stephen A. spoke the
truth. He spoke truth. Yeah, that's obvious. 3 months, we have to remember. There's only a few groups who are going to be here for 3 months. I'm part of that group. The group of the team who goes all the way is going, and the people that's affiliated with the league. So not everybody is going to suffer that long.
That is true.
Well, but Kyle Kuzma's on the Lakers, so Kyle Kuzma's going to be very, very, very good chance Kyle Kuzma's going to be locked down for 3 months, Chris.
Hey, Kyle Kuzma, for all I know, is a very responsible young man. I'm pretty sure he'll come out here.
TMZ might think otherwise.
He playing it safe.
Hey, I'm pretty sure he'll be a model citizen.
What, Chris? Chris, I think you reported on the Kyrie stuff very fairly and with the lens that a lot of other people didn't report on. Did that just boil down to Kyrie and LeBron not seeing eye to eye, or were people, you know, bringing that up out of thin air?
Kyrie not seeing eye to eye on what? On which issue?
with on wanting to play and pushing to play, and it felt like LeBron, and it felt like people were saying LeBron was the one pushing everybody to play, even though LeBron didn't come out and say anything. Okay. He never did.
I didn't hear that. So I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that narrative. But as far as Kyrie goes, I was able to listen on that call, and it was just.
Who? You don't have to say who, but did a player dial you in, Chris?
The player dialed me in, man. My sources. My sources.
Chris has sources. Sources.
Chris, happy 1 year anniversary. A 1 year and 2 days on breaking the Kawhi Leonard to Clippers.
That's not an anniversary.
That's an anniversary. Chris broke the story. Chris broke the story. So just happy to say happy anniversary for that, Chris.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you, man. You're the first one and probably the last one.
The only one, yeah. The only one.
Real
the
quick.
News cycle moved on a while ago.
Real quick, Chris is one of the most authentic people. When for he sure. was covering the Cavs, he would let me, who wasn't even working in sports at the time, just ask him a whole bunch of questions about LeBron and the Cavs, and he would answer every single one. So, listen, Chris,
I respect that you did that. You shouldn't have done that. Don't respond to this guy. Don't respond.
Why'd
to
you
that
gas
guy.
Him up like
yeah,
that?
That is that complex now, huh? So we responded, got him that plug.
Huh? Right.
You know, to Kyrie, like, it was just, I think, man, I'm going to go a long way of telling the story of another story to get to the answer your question about Kyrie. So I'm at the I was at one of the protests back when I'm staying at in near San Jose, one of the protests. Mm-hmm. And it's my first one. My daughter went, and she's like, man, like, I'm so proud of her. She's 16 and she's like a little Martin Luther King mixed with Malcolm X, man. She got a little picture. I'm like, man, where did this come from? Like, she's just whatever. So she was going out there. I had no plans of intention of going. I was like, man, my daughter going out. I got to go. Like, I haven't been to one yet. And mm-hmm. I wanted to go back mm-hmm. to my hometown of Fresno and participate in one there. But I was like, all right, let me do this first. So I go out there, guys, and it's tripping me out. This is a Black Lives Matter peaceful protest. And majority of it is just white folks. And I'm like mm-hmm. tripped out. I'm like, man, I mean, it's shocking, but it feels good at the same time. It's like, damn, like you rarely see all walks of life of people coming together for something that's defending our honor. You know what I mean? And so it tripped me out. And so I'm feeling good. Like we're in this march. And so you guys, I don't know if you guys been to a march or a protest, but mm-hmm. when these things are organized, the police are there to set up barriers for you to, go down, set up paths. And it may be a police at one end, police at another end, but they're just police like all around, just making sure you can, stay within the barriers and make sure everything is holding it down. And so we're walking, right? We're walking and I'm going to tell another story, y'all. I'm going to tell another story. It's funny. Going back to the Cleveland days. So we're walking along protesting, and then we walk past these policemen. And then some of the white protesters, hold up a sign, F you police, you got a small thing. If you were with racism, just like cussing the police out, just like berating them. And I'm like, damn, like I'm feeling like, shit, like what? You know what I mean? Like I'm feeling uncomfortable. I'm like, because I don't want this dude coming over hitting me with a billy club for something that y'all are saying. You know what I'm saying? My point in bringing that up is because I've always, I watched Cops. And it's funny to see the interactions that white folks have with cops opposed to black folks. We've always taught, like, when you get pulled over, put your hand on the dashboard, show your hand. Don't bend down like you're pulling for something. But you see some of the white folks, when they be in interaction with the cop, cussing the cop out. What the F you pulled me over for? You blah, blah, blah. So it's just certain ways that they can get down, just like what I seen at that march. And I appreciate the involvement, but it was like, if there was a reporter, and this is why I bring it up, if there was a reporter, say it was a reporter that's covering an event, a reporter may be inexperienced covering that march, and they see that group cussing out the cops, verbally assaulting them, that reporter the next morning may write, all Black Lives Matter movement cusses out the cops or something like that. That may be, that might be the headline, right? Yeah. And so when it goes to that Kyrie conversation, there are a lot of spirited discussions throughout that call. There were a lot of, you know, there were people that were angry. There were certain things that were said, but me being a Black journalist and a Black reporter and growing up in some of those areas, I hear a lot of shit that they were saying because it's in my household. It's what I grew up listening to. And so when I hear it, I'm not hearing it as Kyrie said, F the NBA, we shouldn't do this, blah, blah, blah. I see it as these are players that got on a phone call to voice their frustration, voice their angst, getting a lot of things out. But at the end of the day, the meaning of the call was to everybody to see if everybody could be on the same page and to have this platform for everybody to get these things out. Now, for somebody who comes in that's a reporter who heard something or saw something, they may take that out of context because they're not used to hearing that type of language. That type of language might be offensive. That type of language might be, he's a problem. But really that was just a phone conversation where people want answers and people don't know, what the next steps are. And so that's why I feel like my place in this media is myself, Mark Spear, David Aldridge, you know, a lot of others, man. Like, we have a responsibility to paint the picture the way it is supposed to be painted. And a lot of times that picture is not painted that way because most people aren't familiar with the authors.
And that's I think that's big. I mean, that's for me, that's personally like definitely like you, Chris Haynes, Mark Spears, and David Aldridge definitely have all like inspired me. And I respect the most because as Black people, you know, you gotta get painted in a different way and put down in many ways. So it's good to have you guys definitely as guards, I would say, in the industry for sure.
I appreciate it. I mean, it's just about diversity. It's not to say that a white person or Asian person or Mexican person can't write the story right. But in order to write that story, it's like when you're asking police to police an area that they've never been in their life. Like, they're policing people or individuals that they never grew up around a Black person. They never grew up around Mexicans. So they don't know the language. They don't know, like, a certain expression that we may make that's natural to us, they may see it as offensive. They may see it as aggressive. And so that's the same way when you talk to the media, you know, just different ways of coming up and being raised and different thought. This is my story. It's other story I was going to get to. It's kind of funny, but it's kind of hitting on this note. So, we're in Cleveland. And
greatest city in the world.
What's that?
I said greatest city in the world.
Okay. I'll leave you to that. Okay, so I'm covering the Cavs. And it's me, Joe Vardon, you know Joe Vardon, and Jason Lloyd.
Can I just say one thing real quick? That Joe's first night covering the Cavs, he tweeted, and I like Joe. He does great. Joe's progression as a basketball writer is pretty incredible to what he does at the Athletic. He tweeted, someone on the Pelicans had 26 points. Who could have seen this coming? It was Ryan Anderson. He was like so surprised that Ryan Anderson dropped 26 points on the Cavs. It wasn't the first night. It was when, and everybody was just like, yeah, NBA players dropped 26 points in the
Ryan
game.
Ryan Anderson,
like,
bucket.
Yeah, walking bucket, as they say.
Hey, Joe Vardon, man, I love that dude, man. I love that. We both came in Cleveland the same time. Both came, he came from, you know, politics background.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. He didn't come from an NBA background, so it was, you know, he had to get used to it.
So, you got to get used to it. You can tell by the way he asked his questions, man. He's hard-hitting. I love Joe. That's my dude. But we were in Toronto at the time. And so Jason Lloyd is driving. Joe Vardon is in the passenger seat, and I'm in the back. We are late to a Cleveland Cavaliers shootaround, right? So we're late, and it's traffic. We're in Toronto. It's traffic backed up. There is no way that we're going to get there in time. But this is a pretty big game. You know, Cavs and Raptors, like, we got to get there. Like, we're the three Cavs beat riders. How we're not going to be there?
Eventual Cavs victory, I'm assuming.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that was the case. If it wasn't, it had to be during the regular season.
It was a regular season game if they lost. They didn't lose to the Raptors in the playoffs.
Yeah. So, Jason Lloyd, I don't know if he ever told this story, but I'm telling it. Jason Lloyd had this idea. Remember?
Editor-in-chief of the Cleveland Athletic.
Yes, that's my guy, Jason Lloyd. He had this idea, something that just never would even cross my mind. Like, I can't think about it. We are backed up, bumper-to-bumper traffic. We are ways away from getting up. We're just not going to make it in time. He was like, you know what? Forget it. I'm driving along. What do you call that side area? Like where you pull over
sidewalk?
And it's just bumpy?
like the median, right?
Yeah, put that area where it's just bumpy. Like, you know, where you pull over. Yeah. Dude, he goes and drives on that side. We're just passing cars by. Just shaking and bumping, right? Just shaking. Just passing car and cars looking over at us like, are they really just doing this? Like, they're stuck. And we're just going along, just going. And then me. And then, hold on, just to say, like, you know, it goes all the way back to the march and the protests and how different ethnic groups handle things. Me, being this black dude in this car, I just duck. So I'm
Jesus Christ. I was afraid you were gonna say that.
I duck in the back. I'm like, I can't believe they doing this shit. Like, they for real, we really going through all this bumper. Like, we made it all the way. We made it all the way, right? Jason Lloyd, Joe Barton just standing up, just like driving, not doing nothing. So later on that day, I just thought to myself, I wasn't driving. Why the hell was I ducking? And subconsciously, I think this is the realization I came with. I felt like, shoot, if anybody saw that it was a black dude in that car, they would have been like, you know what? Call the cops. Black dude is driving his car. Or black dude is in the car. He's probably orchestrating this whole thing and, you know, come get, So I felt like in order for us all to be safe, that I had to be the one to duck, even though I wasn't driving. You know what I mean? So that's just a little.
Even in Canada. Canada, where they're nicer. Yeah.
That was my first time being in Canada, I think. So I didn't know how it worked over there. But no, that was just funny, man. But jeez, we made the practice. We made it to that game on time.
There you go.
Hey.
That's insane. Chris, not to jump too many gears over, but you broke the Trae Young going to clutch story a few days ago. And whenever anybody signs with Clutch, they say he's getting traded, going to the Lakers, whatever. How much are the notice that the Hawks need to be about Trae Young though, going forward and kind of building that team?
I don't think much of a notice at all. Like, you know, Trae's going to step into his third year. He's going to sign, you know, if he keeps playing this way, he's going to get a max contract offer on his first extension. Guys don't turn down that first extension. So the Hawks have him for close to a decade, you know, under their watch. So there's no concern there. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, when I first started covering the Cavs, Rich Paul had just, he was not too far along from starting his company.
Yeah.
But it was
Yeah.
Maybe he was a year in, maybe a little over that, but not much more than that. And
2014.
Right? Yeah. That's
2014.
That's the year I went. Yeah. The year I went to Cleveland.
Yeah, no. That's when LeBron
came back. And so it's funny to see like whatever guy signed over there, like just to see the reaction now. Because I remember
it's crazy.
I remember the reaction was nothing like that before. You know, earlier when it started.
Well, you got to think when it was before, it was more of a Cleveland thing, I think, and people were very split on the Tristan Thompson contract and the money he was going to get, Chris. And it hadn't expanded to the ADs and the Ben Simmons and
So
well, his first,
I think that
yeah, you're right. It was the Cleveland connection at that time. But the first major deal was actually, and LeBron kind of had something to do with not something to do with it. He said something. It was the Eric Bledsoe extension in Phoenix.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes. And Bron said he should be a max player, and then he got the max
and
deal.
Bron, you know, Bron don't have no say. You know, he doesn't.
People don't believe – the common fan does not believe that Bron doesn't
like,
have
how,
a say.
How LeBron is going to tell the Phoenix over to break bread? Like, you know, come on. How is that going? Like, he doesn't have that much power. Now, if he was a Cavalier, then yes. But that was actually the first one, but people actually gave LeBron credit for tweeting out something. It was like, oh, LeBron tweeted out something, so Sarver had to pay Bledsoe. Yeah, so – but no, you're right. It was like the stigma for a while was that – you know, they just use their Cleveland ties and the angle to get that money.
But they can't use it anymore because it's too spread out across the league. Rich Paul, and this isn't just a Cleveland thing, but he gets so much hate for the empire that he has built. We were talking about this. He's top three most powerful owners in sports. Scott Boras, Rosenhaus, Rich Paul, I would say, Chris.
Now – I want to make you look good. You said owner. You want to go back and say one of those top
agents? Or agents. Agents. top three agents.
We were going to let that one slide.
Yeah. Top three agents in sports. Rich Paul, Scott Boras, Drew Rosenhaus, yeah, I think.
You can definitely make that case. He's in a short period too. Like it's incredible to see what he's done. I think the hate came from just the path that he took. It was unconventional. He didn't have a college degree. Mm-hmm. People looked at it as, you know, he's one of Bron's boys. Like that's never worked out before. You know what I mean? Like we've never seen a situation where a superstar player's friend steps into handling the business affairs and then he goes on, exceeds and excels. We haven't seen that. And it's not just Rich, it's Maverick Carter in his own right as well. Mm-hmm. So it was just, you know, I think that's what happens when people aren't used to seeing something done in a certain fashion, you know, there's backlash initially. But, yeah, I mean, it's incredible to see how far it's come in such a short time.
Before we get you out of here, Zion made sure that we had to bring this up. There's Dame Lillard to the Knicks rumors. Not calling them credible. We're not saying that happening. But what – could that ever happen? I think after Dame said the Knicks comments in his interview a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. Knicks fans are all, you know, excited about the possibility of trading for Dame.
Yeah, he said there was a thought. He thought he might be traded to the Knicks.
Yes.
Is that a possibility? I don't, man. Look, it's hard to say. Look, Dame is loyal, like super loyal to like family, friends, like. Once you're in his group, you're in his group, and he values mm-hmm. that. And I'm gonna be honest; I think it probably will take the team saying, "Dame, it's best that we part ways." Probably take the team to doing that more so than Dame going out and saying, "I need to get out." He's still playing at a high level, man. I actually like Shu. I'm interested in seeing what they're going to do. I think they're one of the most intriguing teams out here. If they can get into that get into the playoffs, shoot.
Because they're healthy now, besides Rodney Hood.
Yeah, besides Rodney Hood. Yeah, they can sneak in and, you know, get that eighth seed.
Chris, we all know the NBA wants Zion in that eighth seed.
Do they?
Did you see the schedule that the NBA came down?
Yes, I see that. But look, I get that. But a much more riveting series is the Lakers and the Blazers. That's much more.
The Lakers Pelicans games were entertaining.
Ah, Chris,
Zion was averaging 32 against the Lakers.
I'm talking about the Blazers and New Orleans Pelicans. Y'all talking about Zion Williamson. I'm talking about who can actually have a
the Lakers-Pelicans games were good games.
Man, we're talking about the playoffs, man. It's the playoffs.
It is the playoffs,
Chris,
though.
Chris, look at all these storylines. You got Zion, LeBron. You got Zoe against the Lakers. You got Brandon Ingram against the Lakers. You got AD against the Pelicans. Chris, you work for TNT. That's popping popcorn
NBA,
right there.
The NBA handed the Pelicans the playoff spot on a silver platter. All right, that schedule is a fucking joke.
Okay.
A goddamn joke.
I agree with you with that. I agree with you. All I'm arguing is I think it'll be a much more when I say compelling series, you're talking about storyline. I'm talking about the actual product on the floor.
I feel you. I feel you.
I'm talking about the actual product on the floor. I think, man, the Blazers are dangerous. If they can get in, like the Lakers, we don't know if the Lakers are gonna come in with that momentum they had, you know, when the season ended. Like, shoot, Dame ain't no joke. Y'all better.
I would say that. I think you have a better chance of having a more elongated 7-game series with the Blazers than you would with the Pelicans. But the Pelicans, for a ton of reasons that Chop just named, it would be a much more intriguing.
I will argue with that. We agree on that. That's fine. That's fair.
All right, let's end on that.
Well, Chris, real quick before we get you out of here, who's the next big NBA star to get traded? Not immediately, but the next one.
We're asking this aggregated.
In your opinion.
Yeah, expect this to show up on
Please blog. Make a headline
It'll
for
It'll
us.
Probably have to be. I haven't heard anything concrete. I gotta put this out
there. Get that in there. Get that in there.
Hey, so when y'all add this clip, put this in there.
aggregators. This is not concrete.
Yeah.
Not concrete.
He hasn't heard anything. Anybody,
but if there's any player that fits that bill of what you're talking about, it'll probably have to be Devin Booker.
Devin
to the Knicks, right?
The other side of the Dame rumors was Devin Booker to the Knicks rumors. Yes, so okay,
not happening. Knicks can't get nobody, bro. It's not happening.
All right,
accurate as a Knicks fan. Accurate.
On that note, huge shout out to Chris Haynes for joining us. Chris, be safe down in Orlando. You're going to do some great work. We can't wait to read about it and see you on TV.
Y'all be safe, man.
Hey, stay safe.
You stay safe, too.
Chris, you stay safe.
Y'all take care.
Guys, another really fun pod. We got away from basketball a little bit. We had, you know, Victor Cruz on, talk some football. Trevor Bauer, talk some baseball. We got back to our NBA roots.
Expertise.
Our bread and butter.
Our bread and butter. Our expertise, even though I am the football guy. So whenever we talk football, it is expertise. But – it was fun to talk some hoops.
You mean the way you talk schemes and route running with Victor Cruz?
Yeah.
Based on your Madden expertise.
Madden knowledge.
You guys are acting like I wouldn't. For the Cleveland Browns still have not revealed who won that thing.
Jesus Christ. We almost got through an entire pod without Cleveland mentioning.
They have not revealed who has won.
Listen, you didn't have to mention that.
Who won the charity raffle for who gets to be the offensive coordinator for 15 plays in the preseason.
Newsflash, pal. Nobody cares.
We don't care.
I care. He had to mention the Browns.
He had to mention the Browns.
Every episode.
So close to getting away with the podcast. You mentioned the goddamn Browns.
Up, man.
One more plug. Go to Complex Sports and check out our top 30 all-time NBA rankings. It's blowing up. The Twitter sphere, the interwebs, whatever goddamn terminology you want to use for the internet. And again, read it and then flame Kenny, who's not on Twitter, as best you can.
Kenny's on Twitter.
Is he?
Kenny's on
Twitter. Oh, Kenny. Yeah, I think he is. You're right.
He's got a million
followers. Hit up Kenny for his egregious takes on our top 10 list.
We love you, Kenny. Thank you for coming on. Big shout out to Chris Haynes again. Again, subscribe to the podcast, listen, rate, review, give us those 5 stars. Again, shout out to Apple Podcasts. We're still new and noteworthy. We really appreciate that. We appreciate you guys listening each and every week. Again, June was our biggest month ever. May was our biggest month ever before that. It continues to grow. We couldn't do it without you guys. Until next time, we'll see you later. Special thanks to our producer, Josh Dodd, our associate producer and sound engineer, Jasmine Plata, our production manager, Chancel Correa, our talent booker, Shanice Kelman, who gets us all our great guests, our director of talent relations, Kristen Price Harrell, who also gets us the great guests, our senior director of operations, Jen Stewart. Shout out to the main man in charge, our GM, Donnie Kwok. This is a production of Complex Networks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.